One day when I was in seminary, we had a guest lecturer for one of our classes, and the man who was visiting was a photojournalist at the time in Iraq. He talked to us about, he was an independent, and so he talked to us about how the news business works, and he said that news organizations, the big ones at least, that they have an established, what he called a narrative arc. It was kind of what the big story was that they were trying to tell. And he said if he reported or took pictures of something that didn't fit that story they already wanted to tell, that his work didn't see the light of day. If it didn't fit the proper narrative arc, it didn't get on the news. I think of that time and that phrase when I read the gospel today, and I think that Peter and the other disciples had their own certain narrative arc in mind with regard to what a Messiah would look like. Jesus speaks of his suffering and death, and it becomes frighteningly clear that Jesus' story as Messiah will not fit the expected narrative arc of the Jewish people, and especially of Peter and the other disciples. The Jesus revealed in the full story of the gospel is not, as they expected, the warrior who fights our battles for us, but the suffering servant who teaches us to love where others hate, to forgive where others resent. In this moment, as the disciples begin to understand the type of Messiah that Jesus would be and that he would suffer greatly, their expectations were shattered. They finally began to see, at least in this passage, that this would not be a typical heroic warrior king, and it certainly would not be someone who plays nice with the status quo. Now, before thinking too critically of Peter here, I think we need to realize that we do something very similar trying to fit Jesus into our expectations. We love to think abstractly about the purity of the invisible church, the body of Christ on earth, rather than facing the mess of the visible church. We try to domesticate Jesus, to fit him neatly into our Sunday mornings, rather than losing our lives to follow him. Too often, all of us in church want to hear of a fluffy and ideal body of believers here on earth, but instead we get a body of Christ with all its flaws and unpleasantness. The author Barbara Brown Taylor speaks of this insistence on focusing only on pleasant aspects of Christianity. She describes it as full solar Christianity. She says, in full solar Christianity, people cannot enter the dark without putting their own faith at risk. This, for us, is the modern-day equivalent of Peter's desire to keep the messiahship of Jesus clean, efficient, tidy, and predictable. Now, there are some other things that may indicate to us that our expectations are flawed when we talk about the body of Christ. In fact, in the Greek, there are different words used for body, and those different words may help to explain the misunderstanding we have about how perfect and how tidy this body of Christ should be on earth. The word usually used in Greek for body is the word soma, and it is a pleasant word. It's almost neutral, and it means something like the fullness of a body. In the old commercials, it would be appropriate to use that form of the word as in something like, milk, it does a body good. It's just kind of neutral and fluffy and pleasant. But one author says that there is another word for body in the Greek, and it is sarx. And that word for body means the body in all its unpleasantness. This one author said, I am soma, insofar as I am healthy, attractive, do virtuous things, and rise from the dead. I am sarx, insofar as I get sick, sin, and die. Jesus says to us, to be part of my body, you have to love one another in all of human unpleasantness. This is a commitment to change the way we relate to one another and the way we set priorities. Jesus speaks of engaging his body, not simply his sinless, glorified body in heaven or a communion wafer that we partake of on Sunday mornings, but the imperfect, painful, unpleasant body of believers here on earth. Jesus says that to relate to God, we have to try to love the way God loves. We have to try to love human beings with all of our imperfections and annoyances. People wanted to hear about a nice, neat system in which the Messiah would come in as a hero, but instead, they got this messy story of a man willing to die a shameful death. If we want to follow Christ, then we are going to have to be with one another in all the dark places. We are going to have to bleed and weep and sweat and die with him. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for his sake will find it. If we truly want to be with Jesus and to be part of his body on earth, we risk everything. We risk contamination by the messy part of the human condition. We risk insecurity by letting go of our need to protect our own lives and even our religious institutions. This radical nature of the gospel is also spelled out in the Romans reading today. It tries to redefine what happens to us when the Messiah comes. This reading tells us that to be followers of Christ, we have to forswear some favorite aspects of human life, things like gossip and vengeance and anger and resentment. Because those very human choices, very understandable, don't fit Jesus' new narrative arc, the story in which we are called to love God and love our neighbors, even in dark times and places. This Romans reading says of the person who follows Christ that you should bless those who persecute you, do not repay anyone evil for evil, never avenge yourselves, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Does that sound like the way our world is working right now? So the question is, are we willing to risk and to get rid of those human characteristics which so often fuel us to accept this new Messiah who comes not as a warrior, but as a suffering servant? Are we willing truly to follow Christ, or will we keep trying to force Jesus into our narrative arc, the one that keeps us comfortable in our physical, material lives? Are we willing to love where others marginalize, to stand up against the system instead of simply standing to one side and railing against the other side? I really think for most Christians our intentions are good, but it is hard to question the status quo if the status quo favors you. To do this as Jesus asks us to do it is to risk unpopularity, discomfort, and other dangers that come when we embrace the body of Christ on earth with all of its unpleasantness. Are we willing to give up unkind thoughts and words said in private to embrace others we don't really like very much? Are we willing to have less so that someone else can have enough? We are asked to be and embrace and consume and be consumed by the body of Christ, the sarx, not the soma, to enter the mess of human behavior and yet somehow carry the pure presence of God. I wonder if we're really willing to go to war against the injustice of the world, to love the people whose flaws we see so clearly, and to allow God to love us when we see our own flaws so clearly. The Christian way, truly followed, does not play nice with the way the world is right now. We are not to become comfortable with injustice, with polarization, with poverty, with vengeance. If we claim to follow Christ, we will become countercultural. People will tell us to stop saying that there is the story of the suffering servant, the story of forgiving our tormentors, the story of blessing those who persecute us. The powers that be will tell us to stop telling that story because it doesn't fit the narrative arc our culture desperately wants to keep telling. But we are Christians following Jesus Christ, the suffering servant who became Messiah. And when we follow Jesus, we follow him by giving up our ideas of God as warrior. We lose our lives and our expectations, and we are saved. We follow Jesus no matter how uncomfortable it makes the people around us. We don't fit in. We can't fit into the narrative arc being told in our culture today. Instead, we're called to tell a different story of ordinary, flawed human beings who choose to love, to forgive, to bless, to yield, to give generously even to those judged by human standards as unworthy. We are followers of Christ, called to create a new way, the manifestation of unconditional divine love in messy human flesh. In other words, if our part doesn't contribute to the current narrative arc, we're probably doing something right. That's the story God tells, the one story which can connect heaven to earth. This is God's story that we are telling, and it is the only narrative arc that matters. Amen.